your Bible, then please turn to John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. We are finally now in the two digits of John's Gospel. We've been working through John's Gospel verse by verse since, I think, 2023. But now we're here in John chapter 10. I'll begin by reading from verse 1. So, brothers and sisters, this is God's holy and inerrant word. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Thus far the reading of God's word. So as I begin this sermon, I have two questions to ask you. The first question is, do you long to live a fulfilling life? And the second question is, what does it really mean to live an abundant, fulfilling life? Now, many people in the world, particularly in North America, grow up chasing after this concept called the American dream. And I know we're in Canada, but that concept still resonates with us. See, the American dream is the idea that if you work hard enough, you can have a nice house, a good job, and having a comfortable retirement, having a healthy family, and the freedom to enjoy a lot of things. See, for some, that dream means wealth, accumulating a lot of money. For others, it means status, having fame, having protection and security. But no matter how it's defined, achieving the American dream means reaching an abundant and fulfilling life. And yet, truly, many people who chase after the American dream actually miss out on a life that is truly fulfilling and abundant. That's because they missed the promise given by our Lord Jesus Christ here in this passage. And that the fulfilling and abundant life is not about collecting materialistic possessions. It's not about accumulating enough savings and investments so that you can later on retire and live a comfortable life. It is not about checking all the boxes that our society says will make life more meaningful and successful. See, the abundant life that Jesus promises here in this passage has everything to do with being in a right relationship with God through faith in Lord Jesus Christ and experience a deep spiritual contentment and satisfaction in knowing Jesus Christ and living for him because you are spiritually rich in Christ. It is setting your hope not in this fading world, but in eternity where you'll spend the rest of your life in the presence of our Lord. And so in our passage this morning, Jesus is continuing in his dialogue with his audience. Now, I need to kind of correct myself from what I sort of said last week. I said last week that chapter 9 is the conclusion of the story of the blind man. However, chapter 10 is actually a continuation of that story. If you look later on, John chapter 10, the blind man is not completely out of the picture. If you look John chapter 10, verse 21, after Jesus gives all these sayings here, and then there was a division among the Jews, and here in verse 21 it says, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And so if we want to have a deeper insight to John chapter 10, we should have a working knowledge of John of chapter 9. Because here, Jesus is going to speak to his audience in figure of speech. Namely, he's speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to the Jews. And of course, the blind man should be there as well. That's why we're told here in chapter 10, verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, John chapter 10 is another one of the most beloved passage by Christians. It gives us a vivid word picture, a figure of speech of the shepherd and his sheep, which is a metaphor that is both familiar and deeply comforting. The image of the shepherd and the sheep appears a lot in a lot of places in the Bible, such as the Psalms, to the prophets, to the New Testament. And I'm sure many of you would be familiar with Psalm 23, which we sang earlier. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And not only that, as Jesus uses this word picture of the sheep, shepherd and sheep, this would have been a very familiar metaphor to his original audience. Everyone during that time would understand and recognize this from their daily life, since in that world, in that society, it was an agrarian society. And sheep would be everywhere in ancient Jerusalem and Palestine. Sheep were important because they were business assets. They provided wool for clothing and meat for food if needed. And so as we examine this text, this illustration isn't just merely telling us about Jesus' relationship with his followers, although that is certainly true here in this passage. But you have to also understand the bigger picture, the wider context here. That the backdrop of Jesus' teaching in this passage is the glaring irresponsibility of the Jewish religious leaders. If you remember what happened in the previous passage, the religious leaders rejected the testimony of the blind man. But Jesus Christ, the true shepherd, found him and brought him safely into the sheepfold and into eternal life. Therefore, as we look at this passage, there's one thing I want you to remember, and that is this. Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep and the only door to abundant life. Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep and the only door to abundant life. And here in this figure of speech, there are four elements that we can see here in this passage. I'll list them all out here because all these ideas are intertwined in this passage. We see the stranger who is a threat to the flock. We see the shepherd, who is the leader of the flock. We see the sheep and how they respond to the shepherd. And we also see the door, which is the salvation for the flock. And so as we open our the Bible, let's walk through this verse by verse. Take a look at chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus begins with a rather familiar passage here, or familiar saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you," Jesus is saying here, "I'm telling you the truth and nothing but the truth." He's trying to draw an attention to himself. He's trying to get his audience attention here. And so here, he begins by saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." That man is a thief and a robber. And so here, Jesus tells us that there's a man who is described as a thief and a robber that tries to enter into the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold, in that context, was an enclosed open space with stone walls that surround and protect the livestock. This is where the sheep would be sleeping and resting. And here, there are two, in this passage, in this verse, we're told that there are two kinds of entrances that are happening. First, there's the legitimate entrance, which is by the door here, with a very small opening for the sheep to go in and go out. But here in this passage, there's the illegitimate entrance, which is the thief climbing in by another way. And here in this passage in verse 1, the man did the latter instead of the former. He didn't go through this small opening of the door, but he climbed over. And he's a stranger. He's a thief and a robber. Now, we may think that a thief and a robber are describing the same thing, but there's actually a distinction between the two of them. See, a thief is someone who is stealthy, quiet, sneaky. This is a criminal who relies on stealth to take someone else's belonging, such as breaking into someone's house. Whereas a robber is not like that. He's more violent. He's more aggressive. He's more threatening. He's a bandit who robs people on the road. And so here, instead of entering by the door, this man climbs into the sheepfold by another way. And it was common for thieves and robbers to attack and steal at night. And it was the responsibility of the shepherd to continually guard against losing their sheep to either kind of enemy. And so when you think about this enemy here, this man, he doesn't care about the sheep. He only wants to profit at their expense. He wants to use them to further his selfish ends. See, such a man is unauthorized to enter into the sheepfold. Such a man wants to brutalize the sheep. And in the wider context, Jesus here is talking about the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who are the false shepherds. And even in broader application, in our contemporary context, they can be the fake leaders, the false teachers of our days, the charlatans and unfaithful pastors who try to steal our joy, harm our souls, and lead us away from the true living God. These are the people who try to sneak into the sheepfold and slowly but surely unleash destruction. These people are more interested in what they can gain from the sheep rather than guiding and nurturing and guarding the sheep. They're a threat to the flock. And so you have the stranger here. But here we have a contrast in verse 2. Take a look at verse 2 here in your Bible. Verse 2 says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." This one is the leader, the shepherd of the flock. Now, in that context, being a shepherd was a lowly occupation. Oftentimes, this job was disdained by some societies. It was a demanding job to lead, to care, and to tend for the sheep. Shepherds faced challenges, such as the weather, like the heat, such as the drought, not enough water for the sheep. Also dealing with wild animals that can be a threat to the sheep. And so they have to protect the sheep from predators and thieves. And they will also lead their flocks to pastures and water resources, which would require them to move from one place to another place, to search for grass, to search for water. While it was a difficult job, it was still a rewarding occupation. It was a humbling and honorable occupation. And this picture certainly describes our Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? He's not just any shepherd, but he's the shepherd that is in charge of the sheep. He's the one who's in charge of God's people. And in this context, the sheep would include someone like the blind man, who came to believe in the Lord Jesus and heard his voice, heard the voice of the true shepherd in the previous passage and followed him. And even in this specific wider, in this specific context as well, Jesus also had in mind of the believing Jews as the covenant people of God. However, it's not just for the Jews. We also notice later on, as John says, as Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 16, take a look at verse 16. Jesus says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so they will be one flock and one shepherd." So, in other words, Jesus plans to bring in other sheep that are not of this fold to become the covenant people of God. This is describing the Gentiles here, the non-Jews. And that's us, isn't it? We get to become a part of the sheepfold. We get to become a part of God's people if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And then we're told here of the tender relationship with his sheep, that is the shepherd and the sheep, here in verses 3 to 4. Take a look at verses 3 to 4. It says, "To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And so in a small town, the gatekeeper will be the one, will also be the one guarding the sheepfold at night, and he's the one who allows the true and legitimate shepherd to enter into the sheepfold. And now if you're wondering who the gatekeeper represents in this passage, I'll just tell you this, I don't really know, because the text doesn't tell us specifically. Some scholars have suggested that it might be the Holy Spirit, or it might be John the Baptist, but really we don't know, okay? And not only that, the gatekeeper here in this passage is not really the most important character or the main point in this story. And if you know the answer, you can tell me later on. You can do your research later this week. And see, after the sheep, the shepherd comes into the fold, we see a clear relationship between the sheep and him, the shepherd. You see, the shepherd's responsibility is to lead the flock, right? A shepherd fulfills his responsibility by going before the sheep from one place to another place. And not only does he lead the sheep here in this passage, he actually calls them by name. See, the shepherds customarily knew each of the sheep by name. Now, there are studies done that explain the importance of knowing someone's name. Our names carry a lot of weight. It represents our identity, our personal story, our family background, and even our connection to our culture and our community. It's part of what makes us unique. And so that's why names are so powerful. Hearing our own name can touch us in a rather deeply personal way. You see, when you remember someone's name and use it in a conversation, it actually communicates something rather important, and that is, you matter. You matter to me. It actually makes that other person feel valued and seen, and it helps build a stronger bond between you and that other person. See, our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just know about you. He actually knows you, and he knows you by name in a relational sense. I wonder if that is a comforting thought for you this morning, that Jesus knows you by name. See, if you're a sheep, if you're a child of God, or whatever metaphor you want to use to describe God's people, God knows you by name. He hears you when you call upon the name of the Lord. And even as they think about the shepherd, this also has applications for those who are shepherds and pastors, like and elders. You see, Peter exhorts the elders of the church in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, that he as an elder exhorts them to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. See, the word pastor is a Latin word for shepherd. And as a shepherd of OBC, it is my responsibility to know you by name, and to love you, and to care for you, and to lead you to the best of my ability. And I try my best to remember and know the names of my sheep, namely the members of OBC under my pastoral care. And of course, sometimes I have brain fog sometimes, and I will fail to remember your names, even though I recognize your face. So if there are times when I forget your name, please forgive me. But thankfully, you know, even though I failed, Jesus never fails, right? So he knows you better than me. And so the role here, that's a shepherd's role, is to lead and to guide the flock. And we here, we see the role of the sheep, which is to follow the shepherd. See, the sheep here doesn't just go ahead of their sheep and try to lead the shepherd. When the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd, they follow him because they know his voice. They recognize their shepherd. You see, in the West, there's a little bit of a difference between, as I was doing research here, there's a bit of a difference between how the West deals with sheep and how the East, in the ancient Near East, deal with sheep. See, in the West, shepherds would drive the sheep around and would often use a sheepdog. But in the ancient Near Eastern culture, the shepherds don't use a sheepdog to lead the sheep. Instead, they use their voice. They just simply lead their flock by calling them out. And this is also a contrast by the one whom the sheep will not follow in verse 5. Take a look at verse 5. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And so this stranger is the same person who is a thief and a robber. He is a hired hand, as described later on in verse 12. He will try to call out the sheep, and he will try to lead them, but he's actually a false shepherd who will not spare the sheep, nor care about the sheep. But the sheep will not recognize his voice. It's a different voice from the one they know intimately. And the sheep would carefully discern the voice of the shepherd. And if it doesn't sound like their master, they will flee from the stranger because they do not know the voice of strangers. It's kind of like you getting a phone call and the caller ID just gives you a random phone number. And you will ignore that phone call because you don't recognize that phone call. Whereas if your parents call you, then you will certainly, hopefully, answer it because you recognize that caller ID. Moreover, Jesus most likely had the Old Testament in mind when he used this figure of speech. You can turn there if you want, and I encourage you to do so in your own Bibles. But if you take a look at Ezekiel chapter 34, turn to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 to 5, Jesus might have had this passage in mind, that these are the words that the Lord had against the shepherds of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 34, I'll just begin from verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me," that is to Ezekiel, "son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, and the injured you have not bound up, the stray you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." And so here, the shepherds of Israel, they were like the kings during those times. They were given the responsibility to lead, to rule, and to care for the sheep of Israel. However, these bad and wicked shepherds neglected the sheep and abused their power for their personal gain rather than the good of the people. And because of their abuse of power, they have caused the sheep to scatter without a shepherd, a true shepherd. But there is hope. There is a promise from our Lord, even here in Ezekiel 34. Jump down to verses 10 to 16. Ezekiel 34, allow me to read this. It says, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak and the fat, and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. That's the promise from our Lord, that he will reverse. That's the promise, that the false shepherds have caused damage to the people of Israel, but here the true shepherd, he will come and he will reverse the damage that was caused by these false shepherds by gathering them and feeding them and ensuring their security. And see, as we go back to John chapter 10, as the religious leaders were listening to this story, this figure of speech, this metaphor given by our Lord, the apostle John notes down that they did not understand what he was saying to them in verse 6. Why? Why did they not understand this figure of speech? Why did they not understand this metaphor? It's because, as we learned in our previous passage, that they're spiritually blind to the truth. They're spiritually blind to the truth. They're blind from seeing their own moral corruption and their own selfishness. And also, because Jesus used the metaphor of thieves and robbers, can you imagine, as the Pharisees were listening to them do that, and they would be thinking, they can't be talking about us, can he? Because they cannot imagine themselves being robbers and thieves. They might think, far be it, that's not who we are. And not only that, they did not understand because they were in unbelief. Jesus says later on in John chapter 10, verse 26, that you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. You're not my people. And so because the religious leaders fail to understand this figure of speech, because the sheep won't follow a stranger but the shepherd, and because the shepherd enters by the door, Jesus then explains to them here in verses 7 to 8. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, again, he uses that phrase again, I want to get your attention here. I'm telling you the truth. Pay attention, please. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Now, in this chapter, Jesus, if you read later on, Jesus will also describe himself as the good shepherd. And here, Jesus describes himself as the door and the good shepherd, back to back. Now, here's the question. How can he be both at the same time? There was a story told by a scholar who had spent much of his time in the Middle East, and his name was Sir George Adam Smith. And Smith here shared a story about meeting a shepherd who then showed Smith the sheepfold where the flock was kept at night. And remember, the sheepfold was an enclosure surrounded by stone walls with a single opening, right? And so Smith asked the shepherd, so this is where the sheep stay at night? And the shepherd replied, "Oh, yes, once they're inside, they're perfectly safe." And then Smith observed the area and said to him, "But there's no door. Like, there's no gate. There's no wooden gate here. There's no door." Shepherd then said to Smith, "I am the door." Now, he wasn't a Christian, but he was just a normal Arabian shepherd. And yet he used the same words Jesus used. And so the shepherd further explained, "When night falls and the sheep are all inside, I lie down in that open space. No sheep goes out unless it crosses over me. And no wolf can get in without first crossing me. I am the door." Just to kind of illustrate this, here's the sheepfold, and this is, you see the shepherd here, being here. He's the door, literally. Now, if the historical context is accurate, then that might explain how Jesus can be both the door and the shepherd at the same time. You see, Jesus here in verse 7, another one of those great I am statement in John's gospel. Okay, he says, "I am the door of the sheep." And we've learned in previous chapters that Jesus is the bread of life in chapter 6. He is the light of the world in chapter 9. And whenever Jesus uses the I am statements, he is revealing his divine identity and his mission. And so here, this is his third statement: "I am the door of the sheep." He is the salvation for the flock. Jesus claims to be the door whereby his people can come in and out of the sheepfold. He is the legitimate entrance to the sheepfold. A true shepherd would enter through this door to get to the sheep. He is the door through which the sheep can enter into the safety of God's fold and go out to the rich pasture of his blessing. And he is that door that protects and guards the sheep in the fold. And here in verse 8, Jesus is again bringing up the thieves and the robbers. What did Jesus mean when he says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers"? John the Baptist came before Jesus, so was he a thief and a robber? Certainly not. Couldn't have been the true and faithful spiritual leaders of Israel. You think about Moses, Abraham, David, God's prophets. Couldn't have been them. Therefore, we will have to qualify what Jesus meant here by all. So in this context, Jesus is implying all the false religious leaders or all the false shepherds who came before Jesus are thieves and robbers. So he's talking about the Pharisees here. He's talking about the Sadducees. He's talking about the scribes, the priests, and the high priests in his day. He's also talking about the past leaders of Israel who were corrupt, such as the wicked kings, the corrupt priests, the false prophets, and the false messiahs. All these folks were spiritually degraded and spiritually corrupt from the heart. Again, those who are truly God's sheep, God's covenant people, those who are truly God's sheep would not listen to them nor follow them. And there's a passage here in 1 Kings chapter 18 to 19. This is a story of Elijah. And there's a section in that passage where it says that when most of Israel were bowing down to the knees of the false gods, which is such as Baal or Baal, if you want to pronounce it that way, and Asherah, the prophet Elijah did not bow down to them. And God also promised in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, that he will leave 7,000 in Israel who did not bow down to Baal. And those who were the true sheep would not listen to those voices, to the voices of the strangers, the thieves, and the robbers. Jesus then here reiterates his point in verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. So now Jesus uses this metaphor in an evangelistic sense. He's offering an invitation for anyone who enters through the door. And this metaphor is speaking about faith in Jesus. Entering is analogous to faith. And here, the door means Jesus. Enter by me. Believe in me. Notice that Jesus didn't say that he is a door, as if he's one of the many doors to the sheep, or one of the many doors, or one of the many religions to salvation. Jesus uses what he called a definite article, the door. He says, I am the door to eternal life. No one can claim to be that door except our Lord Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus that lost sinners can receive salvation by faith. He is the exclusive way into God's sheepfold. That's why Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so if you're not a believer this morning, enter by that door. Jesus is calling you to enter and believe and trust in him and what he has done for you on the cross and through his resurrection to pay the penalty of your sins so that you can be saved. That's why he's not just an exclusive door to the salvation, that he's the only door, but he also includes anyone to come in. Anyone can come through this door, this one door, that whoever enters, if you're not a believer, if you enter this door, you will be saved. You'll be saved from the deception, saved from the harm, saved from the injury and death from false teachers, false religions, and misleading gospel message that will send people to hell for all eternity. They will receive eternal life. And they will come in, and they will come out of the door. This expression of going in and out is a common Old Testament expression that speaks of the free activity of daily life, meaning that the sheep are free to do what the Lord wants them to do. You think about Psalm chapter 121, verse 8, for instance, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That's true freedom in Christ. You get to be free in him. And the sheep will find pasture. There is safety when the sheep go through Jesus. There is an abundance of supply of pasture for their needs. This is salvation, an aspect of salvation. We're talking about being delivered from spiritual death and from danger. And even if the enemy kills us physically, we'll still be safe. The sheep is protected and secure by their shepherd. In contrast, here in verse 10, in contrast to the true true shepherd, there are these false shepherds who are also the thief. There's also the thief here. Jesus here, interestingly enough, he's using a definite article for the thief instead of a thief. And Jesus here is referring to someone. And since the Pharisees are described as thieves and robbers, they follow the thief, which is the enemy, Satan himself. Remember John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus says to the Jews, to the religious leaders, you are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. And so here in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal, which is to take without consent, to confiscate personal property, to kill, to slaughter, to trample human life underfoot, to destroy, which means destruction, savaging, all that is valuable. And the reality for unbelievers is that they're enslaved to the thief and to do his bidding, whether they know it or not. You see, in history, if you look at world history, we have seen dictators who did exactly what the thief did. They robbed nations of freedom. They slaughter millions without pity, and they destroy cultures and families and souls. They illustrate in flesh and blood what the ultimate thief does in the unseen spiritual realm. And even with the recent events, with the political assassination of Charlie Kirk, that shooter, that sniper, killed, stole, and destroyed someone's life. He did what the devil wanted him to do, which was to silence the truth. He was following the devil, Satan himself. See, that's a sobering truth. Outside of Christ, humanity is vulnerable to the thief. They're enslaved to this thief. People in our society may think they're free, but really, apart from the true shepherd, they're being preyed on. They're being preyed by the one who comes only to plunder, murder, and annihilate. However, unlike the thief, Jesus here came to offer something totally different. Here he says in verse 10, as I slowly wrap up this message, he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, Jesus came in this world for a purpose, that the sheep, God's people, may have eternal life, that they may have salvation, and that those who enter by the door, Jesus, they will have life. And to expand it further, what would abundant life look like for them? For the sheep. Let's just think about the sheep. Did Jesus promise his sheep the American dream? Do sheep need materialistic possessions, investments, all the money? Well, perhaps, most likely for the sheep, the abundant life looks like this. Having enough water, being in a good pasture with a lot of grass to eat, receiving more than enough nourishment for themselves, to the point of overflowing in the highest degree, they're content. And they just eat and drink and then just lie down and just rest. Similarly, as God's people, we who have received Christ as the Lord and Savior can experience an abundant life. And it's a kind of life where we would be deeply content and abundantly satisfied in our relationship with our true shepherd, Jesus Christ. And to experience all the rich spiritual blessings that come from him, like knowing his word, resting in him, not being anxious, because we know that our shepherd is in control of our lives. He's leading us every step of the way. Even though we don't know where things are going in the future, we don't try to trust in ourselves and try to lead ourselves. But we follow the shepherd who will lead us wherever we go. And we don't have anything to fear. We can be content. And so, to wrap up, the choice is rather stark here. You either follow the thief, the stranger, and if you follow this thief, you're not the sheep of the shepherd. You're not a part of the flock because true sheep will follow the voice of Jesus Christ, the shepherd. However, there's hope for you. If today you hear the voice, but you hear the voice of Jesus Christ through the preaching of God's word this morning. I pray if that is you this morning, if you hear his voice, turn to him and enter by the door and follow him today. And if you follow him, and if you follow Christ and enter by him, you will have eternal life by faith in him. And so, just to wrap up, Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep and the only door to abundant life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, for your text, for your word this morning. Jesus, you are our great shepherd. You are a loving shepherd who will lead and guide your flock by day and by night. And we can rest in you, O God, because you love us. You love us so deeply that you're willing to, that Jesus, you're willing to give up your life for us so that we can experience eternal life. Oh, Father, every Sunday as we open up your word, the gospel of Jesus Christ is made available to anyone who hear. And I pray that if there are those who don't know Christ this morning, that they would turn to you again and again. And if they hear your voice, I pray that they will hear your voice, that you'll open up their ears, their deaf ears, to hear the voice of the true shepherd and to enter into the sheepfold. Father God, we thank you for your word. And I pray that this text would encourage us to continually trust you, to help us to trust you and to follow your leadership over our lives, and to rest in the good God who loves us and guides us. Even at times, Lord, we struggle, we sin, we wander. We do wander, oh God. But yet, God, you're also a good shepherd who will come and get us, bring us back to the fold when we do wander. And I pray that we will continue to not walk in our own ways, but we should walk in your ways. And when we are brought back to your fold, help us to live for you, to repent of our sins, and to continue to live for Christ, live in a manner worthy of the Lord, because the gospel has saved us, not just from sin, from the wrath of God, but he saved us so that we can glorify you every day. So I pray all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.